time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. We're excited you're here. I'm Amanda.
And I am Sam.
And we are going to talk about all or nothing thinking today.
Yeah. We just had a whole chat off mic.
We did. Sometimes maybe we should record, but also we need like a good warm up sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to kind of like settle into it.
Yeah.
It's hard to cold dive into recording with no prep work. One day we'll get good enough to be there one day, but that is not today. Yeah, we were just kind of chatting about how all or nothing thinking, also known as black and white thinking, has impacted us individually mm-hmm. in the ways it's been impacting our clients in the social media sphere.
Yep.
Definitely like before the election, but I think also in the last couple of weeks since the election happened.
Yeah.
And how it's like the very nature of it when we talk about black and white is there's no middle.
There's no nuance.
Very extreme. And I think we both kind of came to the consensus that it just felt fitting to chat about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think this one could argue this is the basis of this podcast.
This is the whole reason we're here.
Right. Is how do we talk about this? How do we embrace this? And I think it's really hard because I think that there are two things going on at the same time where I think that it is simultaneously more difficult in today's day and age to find nuance mm-hmm. because of the internet, social media platforms incentivize, right? Black and white thinking, all or nothing, extreme takes. And then we're also often end up in these echo chambers a lot of times too, mm-hmm. which then really reinforce things. And I think it is so clear if you ever watch yourself on TikTok specifically, I think, because TikTok, I mean, I'm sure YouTube probably does this too. And that's what people mm-hmm. talk about with like radicalization that can happen. Mm. But I often think of the metaphor that it's like being in the ocean and you just like keep moving, right? Like more and more one way. And you don't look, you don't realize how far you've drifted.
Ooh.
Until you walk back to shore, or if you've ever had the experience of being in the ocean and being like younger and being like, ah, where are my parents? I'm like really far away from them. And you don't even, you have to like be diligent and do work to not drift in the same way. Like you have to be diligent in the ocean to keep every few minutes walking towards, I think, the left, the right, whatever. The way that you're not, you know, that you're being pushed away to kind of stay in the middle. And I think it's interesting with TikTok specifically, because before we got on, I was just talking about how, right, if you pause, it's not even if you like it or you comment it. It's like, it's really if you pause on a video mm-hmm. too long.
It assumes you want more of it.
Yeah. And your algorithm can just change so quickly. And I really wanted to stay on Wicked TikTok. And I ended up not there, and you know, climate change and all of these like people watching people spiral. You know, I think we were saying even as therapists who are trained in this, it's we fall into this, and it's hard. You have to be diligent about it.
Two thoughts right off the bat. Number one, the ocean one is my worst fear. If I got swept out to sea, I don't know. I can't even entertain that thought. Total side note too. Did you see the Obamas released a new documentary about the ocean?
No.
Yeah. It's called Our Oceans. Huh. Barack narrates it. And they open with a scene of the diver was underneath the whales shooting up towards the surface.
Wow.
And I would die. If I found myself under a whale, I would just cease to exist because my brain would absolutely collapse. I have that fear of like big things. Have you heard of, like there's like a term of that? I know that sounds.
Should we Google this? Fear this, it's of real. Big yeah, like huge. Things.
Like if you stand at the bottom of like a sky.
Megalophobia.
Yes. I also have the one about like if there's like little holes close together.
Oh, I do have that. I do have that. If you've ever Googled smallpox, it makes me want to die.
No. Oh, great. Now I just had it. The vision just came to my brain.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Think of being under a whale. That's more calming than to think.
Okay. Oh my god. Okay. What were you going to say?
Everyone's okay. Anyway, with that detour, there was a reason. All of that to say, like, it is incredibly powerful because I think that is what is happening emotionally. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think for me personally, when I think of the way you described it, and I think of, you know, like engaging with my algorithm the way I do, I'm kind of like you. The past little bit, mine's been The Great British Baking Show, Wicked. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're holding space for you today.
Yes.
Niche.
We're holding space for online. The lyrics of Defying Gravity, if you are too. We're holding space for you holding space.
I'm holding your finger. I'm going to hold your finger. Did you see that? And then everyone, she's like, yeah. Anyway.
When we start doing bonus episodes, I could do a whole conversation about, you know, I think why are people mad that they're like having really big emotional reactions to this very powerful movie. Like it's their dream come true. Let them cry and hug each other. Who cares?
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll do an episode on Wicked. Don't worry. It'll happen. But yeah, like this idea of, for me, being like mm-hmm. a political junkie and a bit of a history mm-hmm. nerd, there are a couple of like history accounts that I follow that just mm-hmm. give different facts on things or talk about things or I follow like a couple of museums or whatever. And it's interesting how that so easily like will slip into like the political and mm-hmm. then the extreme, and then like I feel like I'll enter into my own little bubble, mm-hmm. which is what your algorithm is. It's a bubble of perception. And even, you know, and this is what we were talking about off mic as well, which is for us who have the schooling, have the education, the clinical experience, the wherewithal, we have the concept of nuance drilled into our brain.
Yes.
In our programs and in school, and to literally be holding space for multiple truths and, you know, to not lean too much into one or the other when we're with our clients and to introduce like multiple trains of thinking, right? Like this is our professional work. Mm-hmm. And then I find myself very easily slipping into these like negative doom scrolls of like, everything's hopeless, everything's bad, it's all burning down, everything's catastrophe, blah, 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 blah. So I think if you're listening to this and you've caught yourself doing that, you're a normal human being that has been given access to something that we were not evolved enough mm-hmm. yet to manage at the way it was given to us. Mm-hmm. Like your brain is not built to intake the amount of information that we are currently intaking every day.
Yes. I was thinking the other day too, like I feel like my memory for things I've read or learned has gotten worse. And I think it is because.
Like your retention.
Yeah, because I can just Google anything and I can read all these the amount of articles and things and stuff that I like read or learn about that don't stick. And I was realizing this when I've like re-Googled the same thing multiple times. It's like, oh, this isn't sticking because I'm reading so much and learning so much. I'm like not retaining it.
Do you think it's like, like if you Google something, is it because like you were on something else, had a question, went to Google, then like you read it and you're like, oh, okay, then you go to the next thing, then you like, kind of like the
exactly.
bounce.
Yes.
The phone bounce. That's what I call it that I do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think broad level perspective, if people don't know, right, all or nothing thinking is something called a cognitive distortion. So, right, a cognitive distortion is essentially an irrational thought that we have mm-hmm. that prevents us from seeing and perceiving reality accurately. So on a broad level, right, all or nothing thinking is a cognitive distortion. And a cognitive distortion is essentially an irrational way of thinking. It's like a thinking error that we tend to fall into. And yeah, there are a bunch of different ones. Besides all or nothing thinking, there's personalization, which is where you think that everything is about you. You personalize things, catastrophizing, overgeneralization. But I would say, I mean, the one that I probably come back to a lot with people is all or nothing thinking.
Same. Same. I would say that one is the most common. Yeah. I like for me.
Yeah.
I would say that one's almost like the umbrella.
Yeah.
Like everything else underneath it is kind of like the symptom a little mm-hmm. bit of that kind of existing in this very binary world where everything's like black and white, right, wrong, good, bad. And I actually find, I found recently kind of on a collective level mm-hmm. that the black and white thinking is leading to the catastrophizing.
Yes, that is exactly what I would say.
Which after I got like torn away by my fears of large things and tiny holes. Take that as you yeah. will. Anyway, what I was getting to with that was, with like the algorithm rewards black and white thinking, like we said. Mm-hmm. It rewards extreme takes. It rewards extreme interpretations. Mm-hmm. And so now there are, you know, Gen Z, I think we could use as an example. There's entire generations now being raised on black and white thinking.
Yeah.
And the issue with that is when we're talking about nuance in this situation, nuance is kind of the critical thinking piece.
Yeah.
Nuance is the ability to hold space for complexity and not only challenge what we're seeing, but challenge the way we are interpreting it.
Yeah.
Right? So it like, for example, if you see something, if you see a post that causes you really profound distress, like you feel your heart rate increase, you start to feel like your thoughts are spinning, you know, any sort of like the typical anxious physical and emotional responses that you would have, you start to engage with that. That means you've engaged with something that is very binary, very black and white, very extreme.
That is such a good way to put it, Sam, because I often spiral about climate change and having a child.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a good point because it is easy sometimes to be like, I'm spiraling because this is happening, because I learned something new.
Mm.
Rather than my initial thought is rarely I'm spiraling because this is like, I don't even want to say blown out of proportion because please, I'm scared of climate change and we believe very much climate change is real. Yes,
we are pro climate change.
But I think, right, because I think even in this critical thinking that we're having this conversation about too is the critical thinking piece is not everything happens at once, right? Like climate change is real, temperatures are rising, oceans are rising, you know, ice is melting. But there is that space still for, I think we go so quickly because of the algorithm, because of how things are, you know, prioritized to, there's no point, right? You shouldn't have kids. There's no point in living. Mm-hmm. Just retire. There's no point in working. Retire. Give up. And
everything
that
means nothing.
Yeah. And that is like extremely overwhelming, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And it leads to that fatalism.
Yeah.
And this idea that everything means nothing, so why try, why bother? Like, none of my dreams matter. None of the things I want are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, if you find yourself engaging with content that is causing you to feel that way, abort immediately.
Yeah.
And take a deep breath and challenge where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, challenge it within yourself and say, what proof do I have that I need to be immediately fearful of where my catastrophic black and white thoughts have taken me?
Yeah.
Right? And like, to challenge yourself is not meaning that you are in denial of reality.
That was going to be my question, is what do we, because I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yes. Yeah. And
or you're not paying attention, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not being informed because you don't know everything all the time as it happens. That's just not fair to you as a person. So yeah, I think to pause and be reflective of what you are consuming is to be an informed consumer. To spend time identifying, you know, I think if we're going to keep talking about this from like a social media algorithmic level, you look at it as, who are content creators that I follow that help me feel calm, right? Calm and informed, because it is possible to be those things simultaneously.
Yeah.
Of course, sometimes you hear things that you don't like or difficult to hear or feels a little bit overwhelming, right? But if someone is telling you things that causes all of those negative emotions to continue to snowball and build, and they don't give you any exit ramp, they are benefiting from you feeling that way because it keeps you on the platform. It keeps you engaged because that thing, their content, now has your amygdala in your brain thinking this is the only thing that has the answers. And it wants to continue being fed because external soothing is never going to be enough, no matter what you do. So I think to pause and be reflective of why we're feeling the way we're feeling is not a denial of reality.
Yeah.
Because you are never going to do anything effective or impactful when it's coming from a panicked, terrorized, angry space.
Yeah.
That's just reactivity and breeds shame.
And I think there is this level of, and I've had to check myself a lot lately, of, I think there's this level of us feeling like we're doing something when we are just doom scrolling and panicking, and right, we think we're being informed. Right. We think we're learning. Right. And I've really had to try to check myself on, is this actually helpful? Am I actually learning? Am I actually retaining this? Am I actually being informed? And I've had to really try to like mute and cut down even just the amount of news accounts I follow, because I realized, especially with how Instagram has changed their algorithm to, they can repush out things that the news already broke on like multiple days ago.
Right.
So you can like re-get the same news over and over and over again. And I've really had to try to be like, I think the best way for me to consume news and information is on Substack, is by independently subscribing to things, is on podcasts, rather than getting just the same drip and hit of news a lot of times without context, because that's the nature of Instagram, right? Or TikTok. And really trying to check myself. And I've, for the first time, which is funny because I feel like this is something I recommend to people all the time. But
we're living proof of implementation taking time.
But like trying to actually, on my settings, on like on my phone and stuff, like set limits on different apps and things like that. And it has like helped me a lot. But it is so weird how we feel like we're doing something by making ourselves miserable. We feel like we're sacrificing ourselves for a cause, when in reality, a lot of times it's making us more overwhelmed, more desolate, you know, more panicked, more useless, because we're constantly trying to manage our emotional reaction to all the things that we've taken in. We can't even then make a difference and do something positive for our community or causes we care about. Hi there. If you are thinking, I could really use a therapist to process this with me right now, I wanted to share my practice. Therapy for Women Center has therapists in the Philadelphia area, and also we have therapists for online therapy licensed in 43 states across the country. We would love to be able to help you. If finances are a concern and you live in Pennsylvania, we also have two interns that just started. They're under expert supervision of our licensed clinicians, but they charge only $50 per session. And I would love for you to learn more and check it out at therapyforwomencenter.com.
How, I think this is something that I've been thinking about for myself. Mm-hmm. Like based off of what you just said, how do you feel you best like tap into hope on social media? Like what are things that you look for that make you feel like better or empowered? And I think the second part to that question is, do you feel like that's possible on the apps?
Is such a good question that I'm interested in your answer to. I mean, I follow like good news,
right?
You know, accounts, Good News Co. and stuff like that, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's really hard when so much terrible things are so many terrible things are happening. It is really hard. I think. I mean, I don't know if it's hope that I have been tapping into, but I do think it's possible to tap into joy. On social media. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a lot of joy from watching previews for Wicked over and over again. Yes. And being excited about it and seeing the promo and learning about how they did the costume design and the set design. And those are like unique social media things that I think are cool, that we get to like pursue our passions and learn
behind
about
the scenes.
Yeah, learn about different things. So yeah, I don't know if it's hope as much as I think it is easier for me to identify this is a joyful thing for me. And I'm going to – there's a girl named like Eli who's on TikTok who is like – she has like a Broadway 101 Ooh. TikTok series where she talks all about like Broadway things, which I grew up going to Broadway plays. I love musicals, but I am by no means an actress or have any experience with it. So like seeking out a specific thing, but I don't know. I think lately with hope, hope is hard because I think we've all been, if you wanted the election to go a different way, I felt hopeful like when, you know, Kamala had entered the race, that felt same. Like positive and exciting. I think It's really hard, even though I know logically I shouldn't feel this way. It's hard to not feel like stupid for being so hopeful. So yeah, I don't think lately I've been tapping into hope. I've been trying to instead tap into joy. Mm. What about you?
I think same. I think maybe like hope was not the right word, which seems really dark. But I think maybe I'll interpret it this way. And the reason I brought up this question mm-hmm. in response to what you said is because we've both been getting asked through
yes.
comments, through DMs, through question boxes, all of it. How do we, you know, people have been like, how do I stay hopeful? How do I fight through this? How do I find purpose? How do I find meaning, right? With this particular era that we're in. Mm-hmm. And I think my response to what you said, kind of leaning into this idea of joy, I've absolutely started to use social media to lean into my interests. Mm-hmm. I watch Taylor Swift videos.
Yeah, I was going to say, Eras Tour, right?
Yeah,
gives me so much joy.
You know, I've let myself dabble in clowning again. I've, you know, like, I don't think we're getting debutation, but prove me wrong on December 8th, Tay-Tay. Yeah, like, I look at holiday baking accounts. Mm. I watch my favorite English countryside influencers mm-hmm. And figure out how I can live in the consoles full time. You know, like there's interests that I've leaned into, you know, my new place, like different ideas for design and inspiration and all of that. And I think it's felt more meaningful to me when I see it more as like a search engine as opposed to an information hydrant.
Yeah.
I think that flip in the last couple of weeks has been helpful for me as it's not a thing that I have to engage with. It's a tool that I can engage with if mm-hmm. I choose. Mm-hmm. And then, so I think for me, that's helped make it, that reframe has helped make it more manageable.
Yeah.
But then in terms of the hope, I think I've been looking for hope in my own life.
Yeah.
Like, I think with, you know, I just moved across the country. I'm in a new place. I, you know, we're getting this podcast up off mm-hmm. the ground. I'm going to be doing more masterclasses and group coaching in the new mm-hmm. year. And so in my personal life, finding ways to tap into meaning and hope and drive mm-hmm. and doing what I can do mm-hmm. day to day to make the world a little bit of a better place. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that.
I think that's a really good point. I really like what you said about, right? I kind of thought of using social media in an active way instead of a passive way of what do you want to feed me today? Algorithm.
What garbage right? are you going to shove down
like
my
instead
throat,
being like, I want to see baking videos or whatever. So I really like that flip. And I do think, I think that's crazy that I didn't even think about how we could have hope. Like, this sounds so stupid, but like, we can have hope in our own life, even if we don't have hope right now for the country. Temporarily. Yeah. I think we can have hope long term for it. We can have hope for certain causes, things like that. And I think that's why we do have to like get more local
community
into because change can happen more like we actually can impact more easily smaller change in our life, which is great and is a way to tap into hope. Like, we have more power than we think if we're, you know, looking at it from a smaller scale. So yeah, I think what's interesting too is I did a podcast on like how to cultivate, you know, nuance on my podcast like over a year ago. And I spent a lot of time talking about like, look at different people's perspectives and stuff like that. And I still like believe that's valid and good. And I think in this tender time, that's like not coming to my mind as like a suggestion. Just because I also – I think it's really hard with – I think – I don't know. I was on Substack the other day and I was watching people have conversations, you know, in someone's – on someone's post that they did. And I think it is just so hard to have nuanced conversations with people that you do not know and have no connection to on the internet. And I think, yes – you know, we can try more. And I think it's great that people are more committed to thoughtful discussion and disagreement. And I think some of that has eroded. But I also wonder sometimes biologically if we are expecting – I used to come from the perspective of if everyone was more mindful and engaged more mindfully with more nuance on social media, we could really change social media. And – I think it is really hard to have difficult conversations when you don't know someone, you don't have – like the context really matters, right, of someone having a conversation. And I think that's what makes thoughtful disagreement really hard online too.
Well, and I think what's hard is like – it's one thing to disagree on like, for example – they just announced like the top pop star of the 21st century to date.
Yeah, who was it? I know Taylor was number two.
Beyonce.
Oh, okay.
We could disagree on that though, right? Like, you could have a disagreement of like, oh, Taylor should be number one, and go like, oh, why? Oh, interesting. I think Beyonce, right? That is like low stakes. Right. For some people, no. Yeah. We could have a whole conversation about that. But like in terms of fandom, but I think those are like low stakes conversations that like you can have.
Yeah.
To discuss political issues and differences of opinion. I know what sometimes feels difficult for me is like, well, if you want to argue about climate change, let's argue about strategies to deal with it. Not if it's real or not. Right. Same thing with like, if you want to talk about policy that would best protect and enshrine people's access to rights. Sure. Let's not debate the right itself. Like, the expansion and protection of rights to people is a good thing that will always bring forth good in the world. And yeah. to remove rights and protections from people will only lead yeah. to further harm. So I think I want to say yeah. like, I too want more thoughtful discussion. And I'm like right there with you mm-hmm. in like seeing that a little bit more on like Substack, because I think mm-hmm. it is less contentious. Mm-hmm. I think it's more like literary over there because it is yes, a bunch of writers yeah. and all of that. So I think, you know, the whole point of language arts is critical thinking and challenging mm-hmm. ideas and being introduced to new ideas. So I think it makes sense to me that Substack is a little bit more of a safe place to do that. Yet, I also just want to introduce that there is nuance with like mm-hmm. this debate issue. And I think the reason I bring that up is because I've had a couple of clients who are like, I'll kind of encourage them to like have these discussions and like advocate for themselves. And they're like, yeah, mm-hmm. but then I'm like advocating for my right to exist. And I'm like,
yeah,
I can see how like that would be like yeah. really exhausting and difficult. Yet you do get to exist, and your existence making someone else uncomfortable is not your problem.
Yeah.
And so I think all of this to say, and I think even to kind of like sum up everything that we're saying, is you do have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice mm-hmm. in the things that you search for in your algorithm. You have a choice in what you engage with and what is served to you. You have a choice in how long you spend on the apps. You have a choice in the conversations mm-hmm. you do and don't have. You can choose mm-hmm. to not have a conversation, and you can choose to continue a conversation, even if it is difficult, even yeah. if it is triggering. Because I did a post on TikTok just the other day, and I think I'm going to throw it up on Instagram as well. But, you know, I was saying like the people that tend to advocate for silence on difficult issues at the family functions tend to be the ones that benefit from the silence. And a couple yes. of people got a little spicy in the comments, and they're like, well, I don't say anything because like it's best for my mental health. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, if you have had that conversation before and it feels too exhausting and you don't want to do it anymore, I totally get it. And
yep.
to also advocate for, you don't have to stay quiet. You don't mm-hmm. have to just take disrespect. You don't have to just take blatant misinformation being spewed all over the family. Mm. What it comes down to is, what do you feel is best for you? Not only in these conversations yeah. and talking about things, but also in the content that you're consuming and, you know, the way your algorithm is serving shit to you. Like yeah. at the end of the day, I want you to walk away feeling a little more empowered that you do have a say in things.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that that's what I think we always kind of come back to, is that's what's so interesting, is what is self-care or good for one person is yeah. the opposite for someone else. And that is why you have to – the best way, I think, to actually cultivate nuance in your life and actually challenge, right, all or nothing thinking, is you mm-hmm. do have to know yourself mm-hmm. first. And we've talked about this before, but I think we'll probably do a whole episode on it at some point, of just, right, we circle around it. How do you use social media for good? How do you actually know how to deal with this and take care of yourself? And you do have to know yourself first in order to know
right.
what the next step is. You have to know right. what your values are to be able to then make a right. cognizant choice. And I think a lot of people are not in tune with their values. They're not in tune with themselves. They don't spend enough time reflecting on what's important to them, you know, what matters to them. So then, yeah, of course it is going to be like, if you struggle to know your values and know what is important to you, it is – social media is not going to be a great place for you, because you are going to just ping pong with everything. And I think even if you do, it's easy to ping pong. And that's where we're kind of talking about coming back to yourself, coming back to your values, coming back to, why mm-hmm. am I on social media, or why am mm-hmm. I at this gathering? What am I looking to do today? What do I need mm-hmm. for my mental health? And really checking in with yourself. Because the other really hard thing is, the more, you know, emotionally activated or charged, or I'll say, right, like the more you're – We're going to need to do an episode on the word triggered because I don't really like the word triggered. But I like the word activated because it it means like you're heightened. You're primed.
More empowered.
For a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're up there. You're ready to go. Right? The more like activated you are, the more like dysregulated you are, the more it is going to – you are going to fall a lot more into all or nothing thinking, and it is going to be harder for you to remain true to yourself and what you need.
And to go back to, you know, the metaphor you brought up in the very beginning before I ruined it with whales was like this idea that, you know, like it's so easy to be pulled adrift in the systems that we live in today and to fall into these very binary, bleak, black and white thinking errors. And so, you know, yes, you absolutely have a choice and you get to do the work to understand yourself better, to know, like, what are the things that make you activated? What are the things that make you feel the most overwhelmed? And do we need a break from certain content? Do we need a break from, you know, the apps and all of that? So, yeah, I think just to close, like, to practice feeling empowered instead of dictated to.
And I think like my homework kind of for people is think about your values. Like I am such a big proponent of values work. Google if you want values.
List of values. Yeah.
I have like a whole in my book, which is obviously about not drinking, but and I have a workbook called Not Drinking Tonight that has a whole chapter on values and how to identify them and stuff like that. And be clear what your values are and they can change, but try to take action from there. And I think the other thing I want to give, you know, listeners, if you are feeling really stuck in all or nothing thinking, one of my favorite thought exercises is to say, is there another way I could interpret this? And again, we're not saying someone's being shitty to you and we want you to like interpret their behavior in a different way. I'm talking about if you're telling yourself a story that there's like no hope, right? Or that you shouldn't, you should give up or, you know, this person hates you or whatever it is, try to think of a different way to interpret it. Because I think one of the absolute privileges of being a therapist is we get to see so many different people and really get to see different perspectives and really get to see how two people can do the same behavior and they have totally different perspectives and totally different interpretations.
And different outcomes.
Yes. And some of my favorite work with people is when someone's saying like, this person did this and I'm like so mad about it and they're, you know, being so shitty. And I can say, if you want an alternative perspective, like I have had clients who've done that and this was what they were dealing with.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that is like, that is such a – I think trying to push yourself to think of things in alternative ways is a very helpful thought exercise in challenging all or nothing thinking.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. And as always, if you can rate, review, share with your friends, we're still trying to really get it up and running.
We're still trying. Yeah, it's good though. We really enjoy doing this because we're both yappers. And so to yap into a microphone feels incredibly healing. And to know that you guys have been enjoying it, you guys have given us like really incredible feedback so far. And we really appreciate you. And we have a lot of big plans for this, things that we'd like to have happen.
Yeah.
So.
And as always, if you have questions, we're going to, especially in the new year, we're excited. We're going to transition into adding more episodes, doing more like FAQ episodes. If you have questions you'd like us to answer, DM us, reach out to us. You can also call the podcast hotline, 813-444-8683. We'd love to hear from you. And if you want us to make merch that say, sorry, I ruined the Sorry, I ruined it with a whale.
Do we need a shirt that says scared of big things and little holes? That would... Please. If we need our first bit of merch to say that, we'll do it. Like, we'll find a way to make it happen. On a hat? Come on. The girlies would live.
I really need Sorry I Ruined It with a Whale as a shirt.
Either one. Maybe we'll throw up a vote. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. We love you all so much, and we will talk to you next week.